sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 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 check, check, check. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Why God, why God, do I gotta suffer? Pain in my heart, carry burdens full of struggles. Why God, do I gotta bleed? Every stone thrown at you resting at my feet. Why God, do I gotta suffer? Earth is no more, won't you burn this motherfucker? I don't think I could find a way to make it on this earth. You know, let me do this again. I fucked that up, man. Whatever, I got time. Why God, do I gotta suffer? Pain in my heart, carry burdens full of struggles. Why God, do I gotta bleed? Every stone thrown at you rested at my feet. Why God, do I gotta suffer? Earth is no more, won't you burn this motherfucker? I don't think I could find a way to make it on this earth. Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode de Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka B Blizzak on Twitter, aka B.Black on TikTok, aka Mr. Shut Up Podcast.com, and aka Le Grand Papa B. Before I continue with the show, don't get it twisted. I want to remind you, returning listeners, that this podcast is still protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. That means Rouge et Bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on July 2023 on a Wednesday, 6:01 p.m. And it's blazing hot out there. I'm not complaining, I'm just saying it's blazing hot out there. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff. Reckon Lame as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. No, I meant that. No, fuck you too. All right, check the time. Let's do this. Okay. And I'm doing something a little different. I'm starting the show. As you know, this is on a Wednesday, so I'm doing this after work. Usually I have a full meal. I have a stomach full. But I got in a situation where I couldn't decide what I wanted to eat. And then wisdom kicked in and said, you're not fucking hungry if you can't make up your mind on what to eat. So here I am recording on what I thought was an empty stomach. And, you know, this kind of, I know this shit is out on the internet. I've always thought how if I was from a country where the idea of not knowing what to eat, can't make up your mind on what to eat was like a foreign concept, I would, hold on, I have to turn that. Mute that shit off. Yeah, I'd be a little, I don't know how to feel. I think I'd be like, that's like rubbing it in. First world problem. That's what I'm just starting off the show with, a first world problem. All right, intro. I put this on my notes. I wrote the word believe. Yes. I'm going to start out with a little apology. So something I did on the past episode. I can't remember. I said something along the lines of comment about no listeners. I think I said some self-pity shit about what the fuck do I care? No one listens to this podcast. And it was a passive aggressive move to get to get someone to be like, okay, I'm gonna continue to listen to his podcast out of sheer pity. And I was wrong for that. You know, I don't let my shitty attitude be the reason why you listen to this podcast. What I'm getting at is I have a strict new policy on Shut Up Podcast that I'm instituting today. I've written it down. Well, it's in the show notes, but I gotta put it somewhere more visible. But it's no self-pity on the podcast. As your host, B Black, aka B Plus, excuse me, B Black, aka Le Grand Papa B, I vow on all seven kingdoms. Wait, what? On the old and the new gods, not to ever have a self-pity party, a pity party on this podcast. All right. Nah, fuck that. Yeah, I'm gonna try something. You know what? I'm gonna continue this thought on in Final Thoughts. But for now, yeah. So, but no pity party, and I apologize for doing some pity shit on the last episode. All right. Even though I got some depressing thought every once in a while, but okay. But yeah, but no self pity. A man's gotta have a code, and that's my code for this podcast. Last for the intro, I'm going to share a thought again and, you know, same shout out to my man, Talal Macy. He shares thoughts that I share with you, and he goes, one thing about me, I will sit in my house all day in peace. All right. Okay. And that's another thought. You know what? I won't elaborate. I'll save this one for final thoughts. I'll be talking about solitude. All right, okay. So, les amis, let's continue with the podcast. Yeah. I should mention, one last mention is I'm recording in a warm studio that had an AC. For you, the listeners, I turned off this AC. This is the equivalent of me dying for your sins because you motherfuckers won't stop touching yourself. All right? Jesus died on the cross. Me, I'm turning off the AC when it's 31 degrees out there. But if the temperature go up one more fucking degrees, I'm fucking somebody up. No, I'm saying, if you do hear a little buzzing sound, that's the air filter. Yeah, the air quality in this room is not that great. So, here we are. Okay, check. All right, let's go, boys and girls. News and random thought. Let's do this. Was that loud enough? Oh, hold on a second. Let me just make sure. Okay, today I should call this episode doubles. I think it's loud enough. All right. Yeah, this episode is 093. What the fuck did I title this episode? Oh, Make It On This Earth. Yes. Yeah, Make It On This Earth. You know, when I first wrote it down, it didn't really feel like... But now I'm... Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I like this title. Okay, so keep at it. All right. Again, final thoughts. I'll explain the title, where I was thinking. Okay. First item on the rundown sheet: Headliner app. Oh yes, I think as part of my offerings, look at me trying to talk business like. I just recently discovered this application called. I'm not sure if I brought it up last week, but I'll say it again. Headliner. No, I'm not being endorsed by this application by the company, but it looks like holy shit. Who knew putting your stuff on YouTube could be so easy? Yeah, so I actually converted one of my episodes to YouTube, and it's something really simple. It's the same audio, but in the background you have the logo and like a waveform. Oh shit, like a Knight Rider going on. Like when I anyway. So. That simple. So the next step, what I'd like to do is, so when I share clips, audio video clips on the podcast, I want to insert it inside that video. Once I do that, that will be a new format for Shut Up Podcast. It might be a Patreon. I don't know. I haven't figured out the ins and outs, but the point is I can do it. And maybe something to do by episode 100. We'll see. But headliner. Yeah. Second, this next item on the rundown sheet is something I meant to play on the previous podcast titled There's No Pride in Genocide. And essentially, this brother's going to explain what I couldn't explain about my complicated relationship with this country, the country I was born in, Canada. And here we go.
Yes. Happy Canada Day. Well, not really. Let me explain. As you're making your plans for the day, remember that your Indigenous neighbors and their allies may not be celebrating Canada Day, and here's why. In fact, a day like today can be triggering to many of us. You see, the day that you choose to celebrate Canada Day was only made possible because of the genocide of hundreds of Indigenous nations all across Turtle Island, or what we know today as Canada. This genocide involved the breaking of treaty agreements, the confinement of Indigenous peoples to Indian reserves, and the stealing of our children to be placed in residential school and day schools. The list goes on till this day. During the creation of the Government of Canada, Canada immediately created the Indian Act, which rolled out the RCMP to govern and control the lives of Indigenous peoples. This involved getting Indigenous peoples out of the way of Western expansion at all costs. That's why many Indigenous peoples and their allies won't stand for the national anthem and won't celebrate Canada Day, because for us, this country hasn't been there for us or our livelihoods. There's no pride in genocide. In Miigwech for listening.
What? I believe that means thank you. Content creator's name is... Fuck, now I'm going to be a white guy who mispronounces someone's name. Zanong. Yeah, Zanong. Okay, if I was to read this in French, I'd be saying... Sean Wong? Ça se prononce pas en français. Zanong. And whatever, man. Shout out to... this content creator, again, linked in the show notes. And again, complicated relationship with Canada. Yes, it's my place of birth. It's where I've got my education. It made me the man that I am today. But motherfucker lied to me. Stupid bitch lied to me about its greatness and its benevolence in the world. So here we are. Okay. What a 4th of July. Oh, right. I guess this is a happy belated 4th of July. Like, hold on a second. If I didn't say, did I say Happy Canada Day? Okay, if I didn't say Happy Canada, no fucking way I'm saying something for you Yanks. But I am sending out a shout outs to Black Americans out there. Just an acknowledgement of the Black Americans, not your country. Oh, unless you love your country, then shout out to you. What's this link about? Okay, I got the 4th of July. Oh, right. Okay, this is, I'm just going to leave it in the show notes. It goes, I got this from, on my tweet, it showed up. It goes, from Black Wall Street Times, and caption goes, may we remind America that we weren't all free on 4th of July 1776. And it's this young girl. I guess she's in a museum and she's slapping all the... all these mannequins or all these representation of past American presidents, and she's slapping all of them. It's just beautiful. Again, complicated relationship with our country. They say we're heathens from the bottom of hell, because the black is back and we're down to sell. Picture us cooling on the 4th of July. If you heard we were celebrating, that's a worldwide lie. No, they same were something from the bottom of hell. Because the black... whatever. All right. Now I'm not going to look up those lyrics. Okay. I'm going to accept the fact that I'm mispronouncing lyrics. All right. Okay. What else? Oh, I was going to... This is a video that played showed up on my TikTok. It was in French. But I'm not going to play it for you. But I'm just going to... It's a rant against a sentiment, against, essentially here. I hate when men blame women for why they're not allowed to be vulnerable in public. Let me rephrase. I hate when they only blame women or their past girlfriends, moms, whatever, to why they're not allowed being vulnerable in public. I'm just saying, the reason why you can't be vulnerable in public, it's about shitty people. And not just shitty people, patriarchy. We're all, like, let's stop acting like we weren't born into as men, cis heterosexual men. We weren't put into this world where we were told that, hey, you are the shit. You are number one. And you need to live up to this ideal called masculinity. And part of being masculinity is don't cry. Don't be a bitch. Don't be a, you know, don't. Look, all I'm saying is, I guess we've all had our past experience. I'm sure there are men out there who every attempt to be vulnerable was blocked by some women. I'm not trying to shit on. I'm acknowledging that. What I'm saying is, it's not just women. It's fucking society. And part of what I'm doing in this podcast is I constantly reject the cult of masculinity. I don't reject being a man, having a penis, and being heterosexual. No, I'm not saying that. I am rejecting the definition, the idea of masculinity I was told to live up to. Not just live up to, but kept failing at it. There was a time where I was like, yeah, no, I'm tired of being a real man. Actually, I still say that. I'm done. I've given up trying to be a real man. And what I mean by that is what I want to be is my own definition of masculinity. I want to be the real me, the authentic me. That's what's up. That's what this podcast is about. It's my attempt to be the real me, the more authentic me. This goes into news. I will play this. Oh yeah, this shit. Okay, hold on. I'll play this and then share my thoughts. And it's about that's funny. Michael Imperioli. You know what? I like him as a actor and his work, and I think I like him as a character too. But the headline goes: Michael Imperioli forbids bigots and homophobes from watching his work following Supreme Court ruling. And here we go.
Michael Imperioli forbids bigots and homophobes from watching his work following Supreme Court ruling. Mm. Michael Imperioli attends the CNN. Actor Michael Imperioli has something to say about the Supreme Court's Friday ruling in favor of a Christian web designer who refuses to create websites to celebrate same-sex weddings.
Right.
I've decided to forbid bigots and homophobes from watching The Sopranos, The White Lotus, Goodfellas, or any movie or TV show I've been in. Imperioli said in the caption of a post on his Instagram page Saturday, adding, "Thank you, Supreme Court, for allowing me to discriminate and exclude those who I don't agree with and am opposed to." USA. USA. The actor, best known for his roles in the Emmy-winning HBO dramas The Sopranos and Season 2 of The White Lotus, posted a screenshot of a news report with a headline that read, "Supreme Court protects web designer who won't do gay wedding websites. HBO and CNN are part of the same parent company, Warner Brothers Discovery." Add feedback. On Friday, the final day of Pride Month, the Supreme Court's 6-3 decision ruled in favor of Lori Smith, the Colorado-based web designer who refuses to create websites to celebrate same-sex weddings out of religious objections.
I didn't know that.
The decision was penned by Justice Neil Gorsuch, who was joined by the 5 other conservative justices on the court. Justice Sonia Sotomayor penned a dissent joined by her liberal colleagues Justices Elena Kagan and Ketanji Brown Jackson. The ruling represents a devastating blow to LGBTQ protections, which have in recent years been bolstered by landmark decisions at the nation's highest court, and will alarm critics who fear the current court is setting its sights on overturning the 2015 marriage case. In the comments section, Imperioli continued to express his fury with the ruling by saying, "Hate and ignorance is not a legitimate point of view. America is becoming dumber by the minute," he said in another comment.
Nice.
Video at feed.
All right. Wait, what? Is this, hold on. There's a video here. Fuck it. Oh, embarrassing moment on the, yeah, I'm not going to play that. Okay, all right. Look, I mean, respect, Michael Imperioli, high five. I'll tell you what, I didn't know about the website, what do you say? The, Christian web designer. Fuck it, Christian web designer. There goes a contradiction right there. That is me saying Christians are stupid. I'm not taking it back. Fuck it. I got beef. This is part of my church ratchetness shit. I got beef with Christians. You know what? Okay, that's not fair. That's not fair. I got beef with Christianity. The human beings. It's like, but I'm just saying. Look, man. I still remember after 9/11, a lot of you weren't like, you fucking this. Oh, yeah. Weren't watching your words after that. I'm just, okay. All right, where was I? Yeah, okay. Look, I was, how do I introduce this part? Just get to the point. I ain't mad at what he did. What I don't get is, Of course, the bros, the fucking bros. I'm gonna label it just white folks, but I'm sure there was a few allies of them too who were upset at what he did. And what's interesting is about his response to forbid bigots from watching his shit. And to me, I looked at it as him just saying, yo, I don't fuck with those guys. I ain't down with those guys. Fuck them. I'm upset at this decision. And, okay, this is what really bothers me. It's because I'm part of this, I join or I frequent a lot this subreddit called For the Sopranos, based for the Sopranos. And there's a lot of fucking assholes in there, man. It just shows me why I would never go to, as much as I love The Soprano, I would never go to a convention. Well, you know what? I would go if it was black people in there. But I'm not going to an all-white fucking Soprano convention. Because there's a lot of assholes in there, man. A lot of fucking purebred. I swear. I think there's a lot of white folks, white boys, who watch the show just for this racial slur. Just to see a white man behave like the good old, like, Tony is like their John Wayne. Okay, I can't lie. In a way, Tony was my John Wayne. There was like a fictitious in there, but I'm aware of it. What I'm saying is they were mad at him about expressing, I guess they looked at it as virtual singing. I don't know. They said some fucked up shit, but what kills me is it's just evidence. It's obvious. It's so clear why this fight against racism is like bullshit. Because the folks who benefit from it lie to you about the fact that they enjoy the benefit from them. So they have like one toe into the, yeah, racism is bad. And they have the other toe, they have their whole ass in the, no, fuck that. Don't change this racism shit. Not just racism, yo. Keep my superiority going. The only way I can win in this world is if the other team can't fight. Like those assholes. Anyway, what I'm getting at is they were upset by his response, and there was a post on the subreddit about that shit, and it just got on my nerve. And I clearly asked one guy, it's like, why the fuck are you mad at a dude for simply saying, I don't fuck with these people? But I realized I'm talking to someone who benefits from racism, or who's on the winning side of racism, who's on the side of it. So to them, they can afford to look at Michael Imperioli, what he did, as grandstanding or some corny shit. But for me, as the guy who's on the losing side of racism, and not just, yeah, bigotry and all that shit, homophobia, I say on the loser side of homophobia because of my the allyship that I have with, I was gonna say gay community, or I'm debating between saying the black gay community. Okay, you know, am I a humanist or not? All right, yeah. I was good for my people first. Anyway, all right, so as the guy who was affected, who was hurt, bothered by the decision against the Supreme Court, the decision by the Supreme Court ruling to, I got to use the right word, in favor of the web designer and discriminate. What's the word they use? Oh, fuck. Because they didn't ban affirmative action. They just ruled against it. Okay, final day, Pride Month, in favor of Lori. Anyway, yeah, okay. So, as part of the people who feels on the losing side of bigotry, homophobia, and all that shit, that hurts. But for me, it felt good having him stand out and say, nah, I don't fuck with those people. I didn't look at it as, yo, I love black people. Nah, I just love that he says, fuck them niggas. That was enough for me to be like, okay, to feel slightly better. While the rest of these white folks, if you can't tell, I'm really mad. But while these rest of these white folks are like, you mean, fuck butt out of it, man. It's not your fucking problem. I don't know. I just, I'm trying to focus on the actions. You know, no, actually, I'll tell you what. For my own sanity, I'm going to focus on what Michael Imperioli did. as opposed to focus on the response. Because I was allowing the response to fucking depress me and send me into a, I fucking hate this world. I hate people of this world. So yeah, man, shout out to Michael Imperioli. If you know, on the first episode, I played a clip by him from the Soprano clip, from the Sopranos. And yeah, man, yeah, anyway, whatever. Okay, that's it. That's all I'm going to say. I'm angry. I'm just angry, but I'm going to try to focus on the positive, fucking stare at the rose that grew through the concrete. All right, okay, what else do I got here? All right, okay, this is for your reading pleasure. I guess I should have attached this to the 4th of July. I'm not going to read this, but I'm going to, in case you didn't know, you should read What to the Slave is the 4th of July by Frederick Douglass. And instead of me trying to explain to you, persuade you to read it, not persuade, but explain it, what's it about, I'm going to read this entry by Dave Zirin, some black person who's more, way more articulate than I am, to break it down for me. Was that self-pity? No, that's not self-pity. That's just me acknowledging. Yeah, okay, it is a bit of, I have this habit of dissing myself, and I guess I should, I'm working on it. I'm not there yet, but I need to learn to be a bit more friendlier with myself. This is, it's a challenge. It's a fucking challenge. But yes, but shout out to Dave Zuri for doing what I'm couldn't do, didn't do. All right, here we go. Whew. Oh, shit, it's getting warm in this here. Sorry, as I'm waiting for my AI bot to kick in. But I'll let you know that I'm feeling the effect of the turned off AC and that, woohoo, yes. There's water under my arms. Let's go. Here we go. Summary on What to the Slave. What to the Slave is the 4th of July. Oh, fuck it. This is embarrassing. This is fucking embarrassing. So, you guys from out of town? All right, this is as me. I used to be a tech person. And it was embarrassing when the show would go on and the tape and the music they wanted me to play wasn't playing. Fuck, you panic. That's how I feel right now. That anxiety. Okay, all right. Okay, let's be black. Won't you read it yourself? Because here we go. Because I don't like my reading abilities. Here we go.
What to the Slave is the 4th July by Frederick Douglass is not only a brilliant work of oratory. It speaks to our every frustration spurred by the gap between the ideals of the United States and the reality we witness every day, between the Bill of Rights and our decaying civil liberties. Between the USA's international declarations of human rights and the ordered drone attacks backed by presidential kill lists, between the words life, liberty and the pursuit of happiness and a nation that leads the world in jailing its own citizens, between our highest ideals and our darkest realities. Here's hoping people take the time to read the entirety of Douglass's brilliant speech. Even though his were words that spoke directly to his moment in history, they still ring with an unsettling power. As Douglass says, had I the ability, and could I reach the nation's ear, I would today pour out a fiery stream of biting ridicule, blasting reproach, withering sarcasm, and stern rebuke.
Right.
For it is not light that is needed, but fire. It is not the gentle shower, but thunder. We need the storm, the whirlwind, and the earthquake.
Nice. All right. Yeah, man. The pen is mightier than the sword. You know what kills me with the more I think about it is Frederick Douglass. He used to be a slave. He escaped. And this is the part I'm confused. Did he learn to read afterwards? Or he already knew? Oh, my God. Dave Zirin is a white guy. American sports writer. I'll be goddamn. Well, there goes employment equity. Get it? Oh, that's a bad joke. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. That's bad. All right, so I'm leaving that for your reading pleasure. As a matter of fact, it's going to be tight labeled if you go in the show notes for your reading pleasure, but it's going to be under the entry after 4th of July. There, bam, bam. Okay. All right, last but not least, okay, two things I want to do. First, I'm going to start with Nas. This is a thought about, not trusting white folks to tell us that we're smart. Yeah, let's not wait for them. We'll figure it out for ourselves. Okay, I'm making a point. Shout out to someone I follow on Twitter. It was Old Energy Head. Old Head Energy. He goes, he quotes, I'm going to play a clip with Nas, and this is the caption. It says, Nas talks about how it was written different from Illmatic. Critics and backpackers may have been super critical of it. They have. They could suck my dicks. Read B, calm down. Critics and backpackers have been super critical of it when it was first released. Oh, that's okay. That's possible. For me, it instantly became one of my favorite albums of all time. And this is why I follow this guy on Twitter, man, because we share thoughts. But I'm going to make a point about Nas's explanation about the difference between Illmatic and It Was Written. Here we go.
He just wanted...
As
an album, how is It Was Written different from Illmatic? Both, let's start off, first of all, sound-wise.
Sound-wise is that musically, you know, we just wanted to aim at, you know, more people than just Queensbridge, you know what I mean? As a musician, you grow, you know what I mean? It's Queensbridge music, but we didn't want to keep it out here just that, like that. We want to give it to everybody. We want everybody to vibe with us, because everybody going through the same thing.
And lyrically, how does it differ from Illmatic?
Lyrically, it may talk about different points of views since Illmatic, since I've grown, you know what I mean? And it's talking about something that was always meant to be here, you know what I mean? It's like every rapper's a prophet to me. And not to look at it so serious, but it's like that with me. I take rap serious. Like Rakim said, I take this more serious than just a poem, you know what I mean? That right there, you know, is real.
As an album, how is It Was Written different?
Since I've known Nas, he's never been the loquacious type. Nah, he's never been like the... Okay, I'm going somewhere with this. Nas is on my... Just to be clear, Nas is on my top five list of greatest rappers of all time. I love his art, shit like that. Because I know I'm being critical. As I was thinking about what I was about to say, I feel like I'm the I'm going to be critical. He's never been the loquacious type. There's never been an interview with Nas that I've actually enjoyed. Now, I say all this because it's a reminder of this is why you can't judge. What's that say? You can't judge a fish for not being able to fly. Shit like that there. Nas's lyrics, I remember analyzing his lyrics and saying, this motherfucker's a genius. I would love to have a conversation with him about his verse. What was he thinking? Like, I'm expecting to hear the voice of God come out of his mouth. But every time he's in an interview, I'm like, j'ai rien compris. Il parle-tu en anglais? Was that, look. I'm being, you know, of course I wouldn't want anyone. Okay, I'm permitting myself to criticize Nas's interviews his ability only because he makes up for it with dope rhymes, right? And it's just an example for myself of just because you have an area of improvement, you're not that great in one area, doesn't mean you can't be the motherfucker who wrote Illmatic and It Was Written. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, Nas is a rap god to me. He's just not an interview god. That's all I'm trying to say. Now, with that said, I'm also bringing up the fact that I don't know if Nas has won any awards. He probably has, whatever, right? But I remember coming up, I didn't give a fuck about the Grammys, Oscars, Billboards, all that shit. All I knew is that I loved what I was hearing. It's like he made music that made life just a bit less shittier. Shittiness. Okay, I'm going to say pleasure. I'm going to try to be a bit more glass half full here. A bit more pleasurable. I'm grateful to have experienced his art. I'm grateful that he saw the talent in himself and didn't allow the haters to break his spirit. There's a verse he says how back in 83 I was an MC sparking, but I was... but I was too scared. Basically, he talks about how he started rhyming and how he was a little timid about his rap verse, and then he did it, and now I'm the motherfucking man. I'm grateful that he overcame that fear to allow himself to become Nas. I say this shit, and fuck the Grammys, Fuck the music. Fuck everyone who said, well, you shouldn't be listening to that rap shit. I'm grateful for his contribution to hip-hop, for making hip-hop this amazing form of art. I'm saying this as a to segue to this next clip by this, which is the last item on my on the run sheet, and it goes. Hold on, let me. I'm gonna play it, and I explain. Okay, and just to get some context, I'm gonna play this.
Affirmative action is done for.
Okay, sorry. All right, I'm playing a clip by Sydney Rosent. And sharing her thoughts on affirmative action. I'm going somewhere with this, all right? So here we go.
Affirmative action is done for, over with. And I know there's some people that are really excited, really elated, because they believe that the admissions process will finally return to being purely merit-based. Here's the quiet part that they won't say out loud. Mm. They don't believe Black people are smart enough to attend these universities. They don't believe that the Black people who are in Ivy League schools and other prestigious schools belong there. They truly believe that those students are intellectually inferior to everybody else. And that's because they fully bought into their feeling of superiority, right? Their feeling of supremacy over all of us. That's what that is. Let's just say what it is. These universities will go back to admitting white male legacy students. Mm. That's what's going to happen. Not necessarily deserving students, not necessarily intelligent students.
Yo, I still remember when hip hop was that inferior form of art form. I'm that old. You know what? You know, you know what? The point I'm trying to make, after listening to what she just said about how affirmative action is done for, white universities, white university, Ivy Leagues are going to go back to just letting white dudes in, white folks in, and then they have a nice piece of paper to behind them to say, hey, this person was meant as a successful, as an intelligent person. I'm saying all this shit, and I'm tying this to Nas, all this to say, to take the time to say shout out to all my smart, articulate, loquacious, artistic, niggas and niggerettes. I don't like using the N-word, especially when I know when the white folks are listening, but but this is me using the N-word the same way, what was his name? Used it on Obama. Wish they gave us casinos. This is an example I should have a co-host. Oh my God, yeah, because I'm just trying to remember the name of comedian slash actor slash executive producer slash Larry Wilmore. Funny I remember all these details about him except his name. Yeah, so I'm using the N-word the same way I'm using this, he used it on Obama. In the sense that not just as a term of endearment, but as also as you weren't supposed to make it. As a term of thank you for breaking, like all the above. Like he wasn't roasting Obama. He was just giving him props and shit and all that. But he also used the N-word as you Blacks. That word was designed because you motherfuckers weren't supposed to make. You were supposed to remain at the gutter of hell. I'm saying a shout out to them because these white institutions won't. I mean, fuck these white institutions. I'm saying shout out because the world won't give them their flowers. I mean, I'm not saying they shouldn't go to university, they shouldn't get a award. I'm not saying all that. I'm saying I wish all these people that I, content creators that I speak about, articulate, that I discovered on the internet from podcast creator, Rod the Black Guy Who Tips and his wife, I'm talking about from podcast creators to Nas Illmatic creators to just doing amazing shit that we were told niggas can't do, niggas don't do. Remember, we were at the bottom of the fucking rim. We were like We were like a mistake created by nature. But here we are striving, doing all this shit, regardless of them, with or and without them. I mean, seriously, man, white folks that were like, was like a curse to us, man. Sure, maybe I should give props to the white guy who helped Tyson become who he is, his coach. I'm just saying, okay, I'm not attacking an individual. I'm talking about white supremacy, how it was meant to bring us down. And I'm saying, shout out to y'all for existing. That's what I'm trying to get at. Shout out to y'all for existing. Billboards, all these awards, these universities might not give you the credit you deserve, but I'm saying, I'm not just giving you those credits. I am grateful for your existence. But yeah, thank you for continuing to inspire me. And I got to tell you, inspiring me is very difficult. Not because you're not inspirational. It's me that's just trying to like hate the world just a bit less every day. So yeah, shout out to y'all, man. Shout out to y'all. I really hope one of you hears this on this podcast and receives it in the sentiment that it was. You know, I'm not just talking about black America. I'm talking, you know, French Canadians, black French Canadians. Like, there's a lot of content creators on TikTok that I've discovered who made me laugh, who just say some artistic shit and all things, like, who deserve their props. All y'all, fuck, you know what? All black people, regardless of what language you speak. But I'm just trying to make it personal because, you know, I'm just familiar with. It's like I'm just thanking you for existing in a world that didn't want you to. That's really what I'm trying to say. In a world that doesn't want us to. With that said, this concludes Use a Random Thoughts. So let's go to final thoughts. And what time is it? And we get the fuck out of here. I hate when I go over time. Shut up, B. Cut out, man. Come on. Again, this is me. I'm struggling to be nice with myself. Doesn't help that it's fucking hot in here, man. All right, okay, let's be quick complaining. Okay, let's do this. All right, let's go. You know, I'm not ashamed to speak to myself on the podcast. I mean, maybe I'm going crazy. Who knows? We'll find out. Tune in on 12. All right. Final thoughts. Okay, this one is a question I think I'm going to ask in the highly sensitive person Reddit. And it goes, how do grown-ups process hurt feelings? How are you supposed to do that? What's the ideal way of processing hurt feelings? I bring this up because everyone I've known didn't like the way I've gone about it. Well, yeah. Especially my parents. For me, is they don't get it. They want me to talk to them about it, but the problem is when I try to talk to them about it, they never understand. Which brings me to the next item on final notes is, this is also why I've developed an appreciation and enjoy solitude. Now, I got to be honest with you, man. Oh, solitude, which brings me back to, that first thought I shared with y'all. Hold on a second. Oh my God. I'm getting lost in my notes. Okay. One thing about me, I will sit in my house all day in peace. I've dated women who, after a fight, misunderstanding, whatnot, basically, my feelings were hurt. And what I would do is just not talk, not call them, not anything, because I'm processing hurt feelings. Now, if I do talk, I might say shit that I'll regret. So I would just stay to myself. Now, I gotta be careful what I say, what I describe this. I gotta be careful in the sense that it's not all women. It was the narcissistic type. Fuck you, call. Basically, they would interpret my silence like it's an attempt to hurt their feelings. When the truth is, okay, maybe there was a bit of that too, because I knew it bothered them. But the reality is how I just process hurt feelings. And I bring this up because I've constantly been told that's not the way you should do it. So that's why I'm like, well, I'm asking, how are you supposed to process hurt feelings? And maybe I should compare. Maybe I don't know. All I know is, all I can tell you is solitude has been my best friend. The irony. Am I using irony right? Or contradiction? Yeah. Solitude has been my best friend. And I honestly can't tell you if that's toxic, if that's unhealthy. I just know that I'm acknowledging it right now. I love solitude. I mean, especially when it's stormy and I don't know. I wonder, am I going to regret this shit? And I tell you, I guess I mentioned that I watched The Good Doctor, and someone made a comment about how there's nothing more depressing than an empty waiting room. Basically, you got someone who's sick, and they got no one to take care of. I'm like, I don't know. Okay. Maybe the theme is one of my fears is discovering that I might be wrong. Which brings me to what's up with today's title. It's linked to the song Fear by Kendrick Lamar, and it's, oh my God, it's a fucking, okay. The first time I discovered, or I paid attention to that song, I've known that song, but it really, every once in a while I'll hear a song and it just, I'll have it on repeat because it's a reflection, like it's the soundtrack of a moment in my life. And what got my attention, I mentioned this before, is the part where he says, I don't think I could find a way to make it on this earth, which is linked to the title of today's episode, episode 93, Make It on This Earth. Yeah. And that thought, that line just reminded me of why I went into therapy, because I was convinced that my mind was convincing me that, yo, we're not going to make it on this earth. And I just needed to talk to someone about that thought. But then it expanded to this whole song, this whole genius of a song. Oh my God. I was talking about Nas. Kendrick Lamar is another, God bless you for existing. And it's an amazing song. It's broken down into three sections. He goes, the title's Fear, and he talks about, in the first verse, his fear when he was 7 years old, fear when he's, the next one is fear when he's 17 years old, or fear when he's 27. What's amazing about it is I notice is that 7, 17, and 27, there's a sort of maturity in the way he perceives this fear. He perceives fear. At 7 years old, his biggest fear was his mother. And it had me thinking. It had me thinking about that as not necessarily his mother, but the beatings from his mother. And I can tell you, you know what's funny is maybe when I was 7, I remember fearing beatings from my parents. I'd say my parents were abusive, but their usage of they believed in corporal punishment. You fuck up, you get beat. It was a black thing. It's only now that we're realizing that, maybe it shouldn't be a black thing. It's an unhealthy thing. Anyway, yeah. When he talks about the fear of beatings, I was scared of getting beat. But the thing is, I remember is I was scared of it, but I wasn't scared. Like, it wasn't a fear that was constantly in the back of my mind. Like, I wasn't worried of daddy coming home drunk kind of shit like that and beating me. Like, it was, for the most part, I would see it coming. I'm saying, usually at 7, I didn't have anxiety. My anxiety wasn't as bad as it is now. At least I don't remember constantly fearing getting beat. Or waiting for my next beat. I didn't have that fear. It's only when, shit, I pissed off pop, pissed off mom. Shit, I fucked up, or whatever. But, I'm saying I relate. 17, and his fear is, yo, I'm going to die, because he was living a reckless lifestyle. And at 27, yo, he sounds like closer to me. Let me try to make my one takeaway I have from the song. One thing it has me thinking about is as he matures in the way he processes his feelings about fear, it had me wondering: do I have fears today that I should have outgrown? In his last verse, when he's talking about 27 and he's talking about fear, one of his fears is like being a successful artist. and having that success, the reward from all taken away from him. Like, sometimes he's worried that God is just fucking with him. It's like, yeah, you're enjoying it. You're at your peak. All right, take it away. You're canceled. Whatever. You know what I mean? I'm taking it away, and he's worst off. He's worse. He's back living with his mom, and he's worst off than when he was before he was successful. Like, that's his fear. And I remember this, like, yeah, oh, my God, here, I'll read the line. I was actually going to – I'll read the line because it's a perfect – he goes – I'm talking fear, fear of losing, excuse me, I'm talking fear, fear of losing creativity. I'm talking fear, fear of missing out on you and me. I'm talking fear, fear of losing loyalty from pride. That's dope. Because my DNA won't let me involve in the light of God. I'm talking fear, fear that my humbleness is gone. I'm talking fear, fear that love ain't living here no more. I'm talking fear, fear that it's wickedness. That it's wickedness or weakness, fear, whatever it is, both, it's distinctive. Fear, what happens on earth stays on earth. Yeah, anyway, okay. I remember hearing that part, and I was wondering what my version of that would be. And, well, I mean, there's a lot of similarities. I fear this podcast gets successful, and I fuck it up. I talk about how I'm scared of being criticized for this podcast, but it's really, yeah, that's all. You know, okay, my biggest fear that I realized was I have this fear of being wrong, of fucking up, of falling off my bike, of trying something new and not getting it right. And I'm wondering whether that fear is one of those fears I should have outgrown. Like, that's a fear that I had when I was 7. I was worried of fucking up, of pissing off my parents. And I've never really gotten over that fear. Like, it's manifested as, yeah. Like, I tell you without shame, I have this fear of being wrong. I'm thinking Jay-Z, he's got this line. He goes, I don't fear dying. I fear not trying. And I'm like, what the fuck am I doing with my life? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm starting to think that the shit you need to start fearing greater things. Like, maybe the fear of, oh my God, the rapper Soprano, he's the Français, he speaks French, and he says, taking altitude, I got a fear of height, but I'm, you know, like, the more you rise, the greater it is your risk to fall. Maybe that's a healthier, maybe be fearing losing it all is greater than me getting it wrong. That's what I'm wondering. I'm not saying I'm there. I don't want to hear you motherfuckers preach about this. Yeah, I had this moment this week where I spoke to a client. It was in an email. I spoke to a client and I said, fuck it. Fuck worrying about the backlash. Fuck worrying about, I was diplomatic. Don't get me wrong, right? But usually when I speak, people who know me, when I speak to people, you can tell that I'm constantly editing myself, being careful. I'm like Obama, worse than Obama giving a speech, and he knows, yeah, these crazy crackers want me to fuck up this presidency. You know, when he speaks, he's like, I do that a lot. I stutter a lot because my brain is constantly measuring. Whoa, whoa, no, you know, don't say this, you'll fuck up. I'm amazed at people who speak with confidence and blurts it out, even when they're wrong. Yeah. I have this huge fear of being wrong, and you can tell by the way I speak to people. Anyway, yeah, with this client, for that, the same way I vowed to be like, you know, no more self-pity, such like that, in that particular moment, I was like, fuck it. And essentially, I was explaining to them how this thing they built and want us to run on our system on their behalf, it's a piece of shit. So I was like, I don't give a fuck if I'm hurting your feelings. I was, basically, I was feeling like, Le bon roi d'Agobert, mis ses culottes à l'envers. Okay, that's a French song. And basically, I don't know if there's an English version to it, but it's basically, I was telling the king, yo, your fucking pants are on backwards. And it worked out. And it worked out. And it fucking worked out. I just had a moment where I was like, fuck the fear of being wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But for now, the way shit looks, you're fucking up. You're the problem, and we're not. And I wasn't trying to be an asshole. I was just trying to make a point so we could move past the point that we were there. And it actually worked. You know what's funny? Maybe in preparation for this podcast, that's why I found the guts. I was like, fuck fear. Fuck it. Fuck it. Fuck this. I'm going to put my fear of being wrong on pause and just speak bluntly to this motherfucker. And it worked. I'm used on shit backfiring, but it worked. It worked. But all this to say, getting back to the point of, I'm wondering if I've outgrown, if this fear is something I should, holy shit, I don't believe it. I'm preaching to myself right now. Holy fuck. I was on the couch earlier trying to figure out things to do because I was bored with my life. And I'm starting to realize maybe I should just get out there and fuck up. Just get used to fucking up. Enjoying it. Like even this on this podcast, just fuck it. Just get out there. Do something. A lot of the reasons why I don't do, oh my God. A lot of the reasons why I stay in solitude because it protects me from fucking up. I don't want to be someone else's mistake. I don't want to be a nuisance to someone's life. I don't want to be, wow, man, holy shit, all this, man, this podcast, okay, this episode was meant to be, oh my God, I just, because I'm having a whole bunch of realizations as I'm speaking to you, it's funny, I thought I should, okay, you know what, maybe I should write this shit down, but that's amazing, yeah, no, I'm realizing why, part of why I enjoy solitude is it protects me from the fear of fucking up, yeah, anyways, it is what it is, but there's another point that I wanted to make about the sign, because meant to outgrown it, fear of being wrong. Fuck, there was another point I wanted to say, and I know I'm going to hate myself for not saying it, for not bringing it up. I'm thinking of going back into Toastmasters. There's this exercise we used to do. There's this activity we used to do, and it's called Table Topic. And the way this whole podcast is me practicing is doing Table Topic. But the way it works is it's a 2-minute speech that you have to give, and you're given the subject, and you have little time for preparation. So you're like freestyling, right? But you got to make it look like it's a convincing speech. So it's usually based off the theme, but they'll probably say something like, they'll give you, it's like written on a piece of paper, and you only have 2 minutes to prepare. Wait, no, is that, a, no, you got little time to prepare. They'll probably put the last time you shit on yourself, whatever, something like that, right? And you got to make a speech, proper intro, a body, and a conclusion. So don't you hate when you shat on your, when you shit on yourself? In today's speech, I'm going to talk about the last time I shat on myself. And it stunk. P.U. It was disgusting. Motherfuckers were... You can't curse in Toastmasters, by the way. Yeah, right? Motherfuckers were running and running and running. Oh, my God. Oh, and it happened to me on a date. Let's just say she didn't call me back. And this concludes my speech about the last time I shat on myself. Like the great Martin Luther King said, you know what I mean? And then, oh my God, I still got it. But the reason I bring up Table Topic is because one thing I got used to, I loved about that exercise, is after it, that moment I'd be like, fuck, wish I talked about this, wish I said this, wish I presented this word. I had gotten used to, I had mastered dealing with that motherfucker, that negative self-talk. The negative self-talk was on while I was doing the speech, but it was a lot worse after it because it's beating you down. You should have said this. You could have brought up that. You missed this point. You fucked up. Your zipper was down. Why the fuck are you talking about shitting in public? You know what I mean? Like, but I had gotten used to dealing with that motherfucker that says you got it wrong. That voice that reminds me of, this is why I want you to fear being wrong. It was being comfortable with being wrong. I kind of missed that shit. I bring this up because there's a fucking point that I was trying to make about fear. Let's see if I can remember it. And that I know that once I hit stop, what time is it? Once I hit stop, I'm going to be kicking myself for not bringing it up. Maybe I should save it for next episode. So, by the way, in case you were following me on Twitter, and this is why I had the song on, I still have the song on repeat. Right. Okay. It goes, why God? Okay. Fuck. I can't remember the point I was trying to make, and it's killing me. It's killing me. Oh my God. Fear away. Cause if I could smoke this fear away, I'd roll it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm going to let it go. It's going to kill me. It's going to kill. All right. I'm calling it now. This motherfucker is going to kill me, but it's hot. I'm going to hit the stop. Maybe I should meditate. I'm laughing with myself. I'm not going crazy, I swear. Maybe I am. Whatever. But that's why I pay a therapist for. But I'm laughing because I know that once I hit the stop button on this recording, I'm going to remember the one point, another important point. This is why I should write this shit down. Another point that I wanted to make about Kendrick Lamar's track, Fear. Fear of being judged? Is that here? Hold on. Okay, you know what I'm going to do? Okay, all right. One last ditch attempt. I'm going to read the, I don't read it aloud. The last verse, I know it related to his last verse. He goes, when I was 25, I grew accustomed to more fear, accumulated 10 times over throughout the years. My newfound life made all of it magnify. How my accolades, how my money to God. Okay, all this money, is God playing a joke on me? Let it go, be black. 30 shows above. Loyalty from pride. What I like about that line, loyalty from pride. Yeah, that's one of my biggest fears. I have a great friend and a loyal friend, and my pride fucks it up. Yeah, I have this big fear of fucking it up. I think Anthony Hamilton has a line about how he avoided fatherhood because of fear of fucking up fatherhood. Within 14 tracks, carried over track, searching a resolution until somebody gets back. Fear of what happens stays on earth. Within 14 tracks, carried. Oh, okay. Sorry. He's talking about. Man, I can't remember. It's driving me nuts. Yeah, the more I think about it, the more. All right. Well, it looks like I'm going to have to save it for next episode. But kids, write it down. Write your thoughts down on a piece of paper. Or maybe the universe is fucking with me. Maybe that's what it's all part of it. I just told you about how I hate the fear of fucking up. I hate dealing with that voice of, oh, you stupid ass nigga, you should have said this. Should have talked about that time you went for a shit. Anyway, yeah, okay. You shat in your pants. All right. I'm actually impressed that I properly conjugated the verb shit. Shat. Your shit. Okay, all right. Okay, stop talking about shit. Me. All right, okay. Well, you know what? This is going to conclude today's episode. As always, holler at me. You know, you can find me. On the internet, you can find me on Twitter. Waiting for Elon Musk to fuck it up. You can find me on Twitter with the name B Blizzak or Shut Up Podcast. Or on TikTok at B.Black. Or you can find me using the HTTP protocol, the hypertext. This is me just trying to sound impressive for the ladies. Hypertext Transfer Protocol, HTTP, and go to shutuppodcast.com. Load that in your favorite navigator and navigator. And yeah, and there's a nice, the show notes all there on the website. You can also use email if you still use email. If you still use email, you're likely my age. You're likely my dating age range. Well, supposed to be dating age range. At shutuppodcast411 at gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website. Or go to Google and Apple Podcasts. We're on there. All right? That's where we are on the internet. Right. We're not big out there on the internet, but I'm working on it. You know, I'm working on it like the universe is working on me. I don't know if the universe is working on me. Usually I would say God is working on me, but I have a conflict with God right now, the concept of God. Yeah, I'm overcomplicating things, but I'm just saying, yeah. Right, still can't remember what the last point I wanted to make about Fear by the track by Kendrick Lamar, which is really dope. And it's going to kill me. I swear, it's going to kill me more than this heat is at the moment. But I'm going to turn on the AC, and I'm going to remember. All right, it's driving me fucking nuts. I'm scared. I'm scared to hit the stop button because I know what's going to happen next. It's me remembering the last important point I wanted to make about Fear. I'll tell you what. I will likely remember it and bring it up on the next episode. All right, there you go. Now you have a reason to listen to the next episode. So with that said, thank you for listening. And remember, and I mean that for the, no, thank you for listening and remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Sorry. I'm fucking it up. I'm fucking up right now. Be kind to your favorite podcast. Peace.
I am your king now.